This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a Monday. We finally made it. I can't believe I get to hear them say, welcome back to the only podcast hosted by us. It's Amir and Jake. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, you know what I'd do. You know what I'd do. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, come on and listen to your favorite tune. The classics, the Pinch, the Game Boy, so many others, and even more to make. Amir, I'm sorry, I know you hate it. I just can't deny another golden mic for Jake. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, you know what I'd do, you know what I'd do. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, come on and listen to your favorite juice.
Very nice.
You like that?
Yeah, I loved it. Why do you ask?
Not my cup of tea, but I'm glad you found it nice. What was that? What'd you say? Very nice.
I said it was very nice. And it's not your cup of tea? Why? Why? Because you didn't like the message? You're so petty. That's so small. You're minuscule today.
Not really. I feel...
Yes, really.
I feel blue, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, you're depressed. You let the song get to you.
Yes, you exactly.
You can't rise above that.
No, no way. Because the haters are out to get me, and it feels like that is the case.
You listen to the haters. I listen to my haters as well.
Oh, that's really cool. I guess we both listen to our haters.
But I let it fuel me. I let it energize me. I don't let it beat me down the way it does to you. You let them win. I rise above.
Yeah, like when I hear haters, I'm like, haters. I take it to heart because I think that they're correct. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of,
right.
Yeah, it's a slice it's kind to my of like
throat. It confirms something that you suspected, which is that you are lesser than.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if the haters and I are on the same side, that's if so we agree, messed up.
Yeah.
I see eye to eye with my haters. Like,
and see, with my haters, I agree to disagree.
Interesting.
With your haters, you agree to agree that you are bad to a certain degree.
That was Phil Angel. Cool name.
Yeah, and he is my angel.
It was my written to be played angel. At the beginning rather than the end. Well, good luck. It's going to be played at both. And if you can please give a shout out to my boy, Johnny Ottawa, who wrote a theme song for episode 199.
Very good.
So Phil Angel, cool name, and wants to give a shout out to Johnny Ottawa, another cool name.
Yeah, Johnny Ottawa. That's very cool. It's like Johnny Bravo, but Canadian.
Yeah. Did you know that Ottawa was the capital of Canada?
Yeah.
That's actually not true. I wanted to set you up because I know that you sort of take pride in your geography skills. So what I did was
take pride in my American geography. And not just my North American geography, just my United States capitals, okay? And sorry, so you said Ottawa is not the capital of Canada?
Well, it actually, I was going to do like a double, like a double reverse, because it actually was. But I was able to convince you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you did convince me. I was definitely.
You looked it up.
I let that get to me. I did look it up. I did not look it up. Run the tape back. Anyone watching at home, did you see my fingers? No, you did not.
Yeah, because you were typing away.
Click, 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 click.
He didn't hear any clicks. You might have seen some mouse movements because I was dealing with some other shit that came up on my desktop.
But property taxes nothing... are overdue. There's a lien on my house.
I'm getting fucking repoed.
So sorry if I didn't really look nice up the Uncle capital Sam. Of Ottawa.
I have more important shit going on.
The last podcast we recorded together was weeks ago. It was like hours before your flight to Europe. Then you went to
hours before.
You did shows. You did a bike trip, full vacation. You landed last night, and it's right back into a podcast.
Right back in, bookended. Yeah.
You're a completely like different person now from the last episode.
Yeah, that's true. I have a different worldview for sure.
In the last episode, somebody said that my boyfriend watches too much porn, but will be at your Scotland show. Did you?
Oh.
Did you see those people at your Scotland show?
I did see one. Yeah, I saw one phone in the audience with just kind of lighting up a face, and I could tell the guy was beating off. So I feel like it was that guy.
He was having a cheeky in the fifth row.
Yeah, he was having a cheeky wink. A cheeky fap.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily see those people. And if I did, it didn't come up.
Got it. And there was no like meet and greet situation after these shows?
There wasn't an official meet and greet because of the whole COVID thing. And you know, in an ideal world, we don't meet someone in Dublin and then bring a new COVID variant to Edinburgh. So yeah, that didn't happen. But I will say, we met some fans outside of the show, people that wait around by the doors or whatever. We'll often take some selfies, do a little impromptu, non-official meet and greet.
I wish I would have known.
Were you at one of the shows?
I went to the...
I thought I saw you in an old Cobb cosplay. And
I did the
You
Dublin
were in Manchester,
show.
Right?
Oh, yeah, Manchester.
You did.
Yeah. Well, okay, I did so you Manchester were at Dublin, and then I did
you,
the Dublin show.
You did the Deadeye. Yeah, you did the Deadeye cosplay in Dublin. I remember that.
I thought we locked... And then, yeah, we made eye contact and I texted you after the show. And then I was like, oh...
You did text me. You FaceTimed me from the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said you want to have a cheeky pint and should you go come to London?
Right. And I never heard back. So then I did the Dublin show. I was one train behind you guys. Sat I paid top dollar on
You sat in steerage, right?
And then I went to
I
that
saw you
show
with the
too.
Luggage.
I tried to, I told the security guy that I was sort of back there.
You said you were our tour manager. I heard them. There was a scuffle outside of our room. I didn't realize it was you. I heard somebody yelling, "I'm the manager. I'm the manager. Let me back there." That must have been you.
Yeah. So that was, it was such a rad show, dude. And I did actually get COVID and I brought it to the, I know you said you were afraid to bring in the variant. So I ended up doing that. I infected a few people. I went like the Pied Piper style from show to show. Which I thought was like sort of like instead of merch, you can get like BA.1.2 a pint of the antibodies for ya. Killian's Irish Omicron variant. Remember that from when we used to go to Europe together? That was so fucking sick.
I don't even remember our tours. It's kind of like pushed out those bad memories and it filled my head with good times.
Europe tours are kind of whack.
Yeah, they were with you. They were with you because I remember we went to
whack.
Like, we went to London and we did like 10 shows in 5 days and I stayed in a hostel. So it was definitely a different vibe this time. We traveled
scoot?
We ate well.
Bring, bring,
I didn't have a broken foot. So, So thankfully, I didn't piss myself and have Mike Carnell need to carry my scooter up the stairs while I stood underneath a hand dryer before checking back into my hostel.
Why did you stay in a hostel that Europe trip?
I didn't have any money. I had no cash. I was broke. I remember Streeter making fun of me because we had sold out every single show. He's like, you're the only person that's ever been on a 10 show sold out tour and needed to stay in a hostel. And it's probably true.
And you know what they say, like, those fucking broke days staying in a hostel 2 shows a night, you wouldn't fucking trade that into this for this tour where you like have the money and you're making
in a Hoxton instead of a hostel.
You'd take that fucking hostel 9 times out of 10, I bet, because that was fucking rock and roll. You had a broken foot and a fucking great attitude, and you would have sucked taken that trip. Just you would fucking prefer that to what you just did, I bet.
Yeah. Well, the foot, I would probably... No, I think every aspect of this tour was better because I didn't have the broken foot. You know, that tour was also 2 shows a night to 100 people.
And it was fucking
which was like
grunge rock.
Ultimately, the same amount as like one NADPOD show. So it's kind of like one and done. Everything felt high energy, excellent. I will say the people in that first run, that first tour, just like being around you, I like this tour was better than that. Just for like the personnel, Streeter's awesome, and it's no shade on Streeter,
on Streeter at all at this point.
But yeah, it felt better to be on tour with these other chums. These other chums, eh? Right, Governor. That's an inside joke from the tour.
I would have loved it. I would have loved to have that.
Yeah. You and I might do a show. That looked like one came up while I was abroad.
Oh, right. St. Louis.
We're going to perform 4 weeks to 28 people in a school auditorium in Missouri.
Wash,
I don't think it's quite St. Louis. Yeah, it's outside.
Yeah, it's technically Missoula, Missouri, which is a pretty obscure town. 49 miles due northeast of southeast Missouri.
And weren't we going to go to Fort Smith, Arkansas?
We were.
I thought we had a show for 8 in a Laugh Factory in Arkansas.
We didn't end up selling a ticket, so they punted on it and gave us our kill fee.
Kill fee.
Which our agent took in his cancellation letter for us.
Negotiating a high kill fee and having that be how we make cash from the tour is so funny.
I made most of my money on kill fees early on, so I would sort of convince...
They need to not have us, ultimately, and they'll pay the fee.
Exactly. All right, this is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web hosted by me. I'm Amir.
And me. I'm Jake.
Any high and or low lights from the trip, or it was all just one general good, nothing to specifically state?
Man, there really was. I mean, I feel like there were a lot of highs.
But was there hilarious low? Did you step on a mouse or something like that?
Our venue in Manchester was comically poorly manned. We're actually really just one poor man.
Oh wow! It was. You don't mind calling that person out just because it was that bad?
I texted Andrew. Who's our touring agent, and I said we will never do another show at Manchester Academy again.
It was Chester, right? The man Chester who ran the Manchester Theater.
That's right. That man Chester. It was we were told to get there an hour earlier than we wanted to show up for sound check. We would like to do it like a half hour before the doors. They told us to get there an hour before. And we got there to do sound check. We were greeted by the venue manager, and I never saw him again. We went out to the stage. No mics were set up. There was nothing to do sound check on.
Uh-huh.
We went up to the green room. They didn't have, like, there was kind of, like, 3 sad sandwiches out there.
For the 4 of you to split.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like, okay, so we need to order dinner. I let them know at the door that I was going to have to Uber eat something because nobody came.
Fishy but chips.
I was trying to get some cheeky fish and chips, actually.
That's good.
The big thing was just that, like, nobody spoke to us. Nobody communicated with us. We went down to the venue and we're like, what time are the doors? What time is the show? Nobody knew. They're like, oh, is the show at 7:30 or 8? And we're like, we're asking you guys, what do you think? Because we're trying to do sound check now and you have to open the doors soon, right? There's like, are the doors at 7? And we're like, we don't know. But the biggest thing was just that at 7:30, which was according to the website, when showtime was, no one came up to the green room to get us. We were just waiting. We didn't know when to start the show. Nobody spoke to us. It's like nearing 8. We're like, what is going on? We're looking for people. No one is there. Eventually, I ran into the sound guy in the hallway. And I was like, are we starting the show? He's like, oh, are you guys ready? And we're like, yes! Yes, we're ready. No one's fucking talking to us.
So if you didn't say anything, it would have lasted till 11 p.m., nobody doing anything.
Yeah. We started the show 25 minutes late, and it was only because no one told us where to go or when to be. And then after the show, I didn't speak to a single person. It was crazy.
Maybe there's like...
It was...
My theory is that they're used to doing musicians and then like, oh, we have four American podcasters coming through. Let's give them the icy treatment. That's how we do things in Manchester by the sea.
Yeah, that is what it seemed like. When we got there, the guy at the door made a joke. I was like, oh, is this where the podcast is tonight? And he was like, show's canceled. And the more I stayed in that venue, the more I think that they actually all thought the show was canceled.
I wasn't being sarcastic. I literally thought the show was canceled.
I thought the show was canceled. So that was kind of the biggest low point. And then also the bike ride that me and Micah and our buddy Andy did.
Yeah, which was like several hundred miles.
No, it was only 100, but there was one day where we did 50 miles, basically one 50-mile day. That was like the big ride. We did a loop called Apple Cross, and 50 miles is, you know, long, but it was like the elevation. It was 5,000 feet of elevation.
During the actual ride.
Throughout the ride. But the thing was, the first 6 miles are like 3,000 of those feet. So it's just like you start and you basically just start going straight up. And there were like several times in that ride in the first 10 miles where I was like, I don't know if I can physically do this. I'm like, I'm absolutely at my limit. Just like pedaling, so slow, legs burning.
Why don't you get off and like walk up? Is that an option?
It's an option, yeah. But it's it wouldn't feel good. I honestly, in that ride, I wouldn't even call it cheating. I didn't do it because it would have been cheating.
Yeah.
But like, it's still, walking your bike up those hills is also really hard and it's punishing. But like, I only wanted to ride it because I thought it'd be over faster. But several times, you know, just like pulling, my legs are about to give up. I need to pull over to the side of the road at the same time as I'm unclipping on like an 8% grade, about to fall over. I almost ate shit so many times.
Were you frustrated and annoyed, or were you just like, this is, oh well?
I was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done, and it's not over, and I don't know if I can do it, but I kept on being like, if I can finish this, it'll be the hardest thing I've ever done, and I want to be able to say that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I was like, it's still not over, and I don't know when it's going to be over. And every time we would like round a corner, because they're all like switchbacks. So every time I would like turn, I'd be like, oh, this has to be the last hill. This is the top. And it would just be like three more of those. And the town on the other side of this, like first 3,000 feet, then you go down a bunch of hills and there's like a cute little town where you can get a little pie, some fish and chips.
That's
a
good.
Cheeky pint.
Yeah.
And there was a sign that said Apple Cross Inn open every day, and then below that closed Tuesdays. And our whole plan was to eat there. And we had 3 protein bars, a Snickers, and a bunch of gummy bears. And that place was closed. So we just like ate the protein bars and we're like, okay, 40 more miles. And then we had...
All right, all that's left is most of them.
And the last 10 miles, it started like pouring rain. The rain had like held off the whole entire time, but the last 10 miles, it was raining. We were wet. We were miserable. But yeah, that also made it like a huge highlight when we finished.
Right. And then how well did you sleep that night, knowing that you were just physically exhausted from bike riding for 10 hours in a row?
That night, that was an incredible night's sleep. We like went to our Airbnb, took showers. We went and got so much food because we basically skipped lunch and rode 50 miles.
You must have burned 5,000 calories.
Yeah. We all got our own entrees and then split 2 other entrees and had like appetizers, and we drank like 2 Guinness each. It was great. That felt great.
Did you get drunk faster because you hadn't eaten all day?
Yeah, I definitely, I think that night the first thing I had was an IPA and it got me twisted, for sure.
And then when you woke up the next day, you had to bike ride more, or was that the finale?
That next day we actually did something. There are this place, shout out to Sky Adventure. I think it's called Sky Adventure. Let me look it up, because it also could be Adventure Sky. Hold on, sorry. Yeah, Sky Adventure. Okay. We met these people in the Isle of Skye, which is in like the Western Islands in Scotland. And they do like rock climbing, trail running, camping, a whole bunch of like outdoor activities. And they do this one thing called co-steering, which is, I'll show you a picture of it.
Co-steering?
Yeah, coast, like C-O-A-S-T-E-E-R-I-N-G, co-steering. And they took us out, and...
I see people jumping off cliffs into water.
Yeah, I'm holding up my phone to the screen so you can see. Oh.
That's you jumping off a cliff like into water?
No, that's what we did, but we were just wearing wetsuits and we were out in the water, so we didn't have our phones. I'm kind of sad that I didn't have any photos, but like basically you swim out into the ocean, uh-huh. You climb up all these little like rock outcroppings and just jump into the water. We like walked through a cave. It was incredible. It was such a unique way to see Skye. And then we made friends with the people and they opened a rock climbing gym and we went and climbed there on like Thursday. But anyway, Wednesday was like supposed to be our rest day, but we ended up going co-steering. It was just climbing and jumping and swimming.
Yeah, weren't your legs like dead sore by then?
Yeah, my legs were, that next day I was like, I wouldn't be able to get on a bike. I don't know what my body would do. But then on Thursday after that day of swimming, I was totally ready to go. We did like a 30-mile ride and I could have kept on going.
Because it was flat. It was no incline.
That ride was like maybe 1,300 feet of elevation or something. So not crazy. Like usually when I ride in the city, it'll be like 1,200 feet of elevation.
Yeah, 5,000 is a mile. You're going a mile up vertical in addition to the mile forward. You don't want to also go a mile up. That's really high up.
It was very, very high. And it was actually like, it was just as scary coming down because it was so steep.
Yeah.
And you would get so much speed that I basically need to be like riding the brakes, but the hills are so steep that it felt like I was going to like pitch forward.
Right, like you couldn't
turn. Oh, and my tire came off.
Oh.
on the uphill. The bolt was loose or something. I should have checked it. But it is on the bike shop ultimately.
So
I think
struggling to go up, your bike fell, your tire fell off.
Yeah, I like pulled hard on the handlebars and I just like felt the bike wobble. And I was like, damn, this hill must be really steep. I'm about to tilt backwards. And I like pulled up again and I just saw that the wheel is like coming out of the well and it like bent to the side and I kind of slammed into the rail and I kind of just barely was able to clip out before I fell over and ate shit.
You know what? But you're here now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great trip. A really great trip. Great way to see a fucking place, tell you what, is just coastier. Biking around.
Oh, yeah, biking. Coastier, yeah.
Both of those things.
All right, let's take a break. Thanks to sponsors. Come back and then answer questions that are either about coasteering or not. I see what it is. It's coast earring.
Yeah.
Got it.
Coast earring. Coast earring. Yeah.
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 Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson of the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Yes, I do, dude. I want everyone to see the movie my wife produced.
Holy shit,
Jill,
I had no idea. Right. I would have auditioned. Damn.
It's a gay rom-com based on Pride and Prejudice.
Was she in charge?
Set on Fire
of
Island.
Those kinds of decisions.
I mean, she looked at casting tape.
I would have been able to get straight to callback. Yeah,
it's like a queer cast, so I feel like you're kind of like.
I would have gone straight to chemistry read. I would have gone straight to producer meetings, and it's me and Vogel in the room, and I'm just showing her my take on a character. There's no way I don't book the lead. If not the lead, then
book the third lead
on the call sheet.
No, you're not going to put the lead wrote the movie. Joel Kim Brewster wrote the film. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Respect. I've always wanted to sort of.
You actually don't have any respect for anything because you have no respect.
The first thing you heard of.
Yeah. The first thing you fucking said when you heard about the movie was that you should have been cast, that you should have auditioned, and that you could have been the lead. You would have known this stuff if you had asked.
Jill on the horn and see if it's way, way, way too late to do reshoots.
Of course it's way too late. It's premiere. I'm trying to promote the premiere of it. They can't
not till
do
Friday,
reshoots.
Right?
Yeah, but there's, I mean, do you think that Fox Searchlight is going to
shoehorn my ass into this all-star cast?
Right. It feels like you don't have the POV of a gay Asian man that they are looking for, right? Wow,
that's their words or my, or is that
yours? They're no one's words.
I feel like this is my dead eyes.
They're my
moment.
Words. You just found out about the movie.
I so just no, found out not. About Dead Eyes.
Check it out. It's called Fire Island. It's premiering on Hulu on Friday, June 3rd, folks. The reviews are in. Variety loves it. Hollywood Reporter loves it.
Oh.
So yeah, check it out. It's legit. And if everyone watches it and gives good reviews, then my wife will be happy and maybe she'll take me back.
Happy wife, happy life for Jake.
Yeah. I do think she's happy with her new guy, but still, ideally she's happy with me.
With her new guy.
She has a side piece that turned into her main chick. And actually, even she has a side piece from the main thing. So I'm kind of too removed, if you can freaking imagine.
Damn.
There's Tucker, there's Travis, and little old me, I'm chopped liver. Speaking of, that's what I might have for dinner.
Why? That's so
funny. I like liver.
That's got to be a new thing for you. I've never seen you have that. It's like a Scottish thing you picked up or something.
That's correct.
Did you pick up any weird Scotland things? Like sometimes you go to Australia and you're like, this is how I like my coffee now. Or like I go to Scotland and you're like, oh yeah, I had caviar and I'm going to get it in New York.
I'm not a Scotland thing. More of the thing that I picked up in Ireland, but then I carried it through the rest of the trip was drinking Guinness. I think I've maybe had one Guinness in my whole life before this trip. And I would have like one to two every night while we're on the cycling trip. And it was great. They're just so smooth, so easy to drink. And very, I don't know that it has healing properties, but it felt like it did. I would like crave it at the end of the day.
Now you can get one in America and be like, it's not the same. I had these in Dublin and it just drinks different there.
Yeah, it's different. It's so different. I got into scotch a little bit, actually. I never thought I was definitely always more of a bourbon guy. But
and that's where it's
days,
from, right? Scotch means Scottish whiskey.
Maybe I don't know what it means. It is Scottish. It's
I
scotch.
Think that's what it is. I wanna say that's what makes it Scotch.
Right. It sounds about right. It definitely sounds about right. I mean, I didn't like take a tour
it
of a
like
distillery
you're saying
or anything.
Scottish
I just drank
super
it a lot.
Fast. Scotch.
Scotch. And they spell whiskey without the E, which is kinda cool.
Oh, that's really cool, actually. And that's only if it's Scotch whiskey or even Irish whiskey has no E in it.
I don't know. I drank one. It was called Ledeg, and it was good. It was very good. I think I like the smoky, and I like the peaty now.
The what?
The peatiness. The peatiness.
What is that?
I think it's something from how they make it. Peat. Yeah, it's like peat moss. It's kind of like an earthy,
moss?
Grassy. Yeah.
I went to high school with that kid. He's a Pete nobody. Moss, There's no way this is part of his fucking culture / legacy now.
I probably not. Probably not.
Coincidence.
He's a huge coincidence.
Yeah. Huge Pete has nothing to do with the flavor profile of an entire liquor from the 17th century till now.
I'm saying, we agree on that point.
We actually got a question about eating food and stuff from the UK. So this is actually a good transition.
Amazing.
Yeah. This guy who we'll call, I don't know, Pete Moss writes, 7 years ago, I got with my childhood sweetheart and it's been mostly great. She's the love of my life. But we constantly argue over housework.
Right.
I cook delicious meals for us both every evening and do all the cleaning too, since her job is very tiring and stressful. The problem is she will eat most of her meal, then leave a plate on the couch or the floor or wherever she decides. I have found plates of food in the bathroom before. She sometimes even eats half of the meal. I serve her, then orders pizza, leaving both on the carpet. I ask her to clean up food every day, and as keeping a clean home is important to me, but she just says we have different ways of doing things. I've also tried not cleaning up after her, and she just leaves the food out to go bad, or she'll hide the plates in the cupboard or the oven. When she runs out of plates, she buys more instead of washing them. Should I keep nagging her or continue putting a strain on the relationship? Or should I just live out a disgusting home and be happier? Please help. Love, Pete Moss.
Let's go option three. Live in this disgusting home and be happier. Right?
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that.
Continue living in filth and garbage. And
the pizza on the ground.
Be happy. Be happy. That's the key. So
yeah, he said, I'm afraid he won't be able to be happy because he seems to like
nailed
really...
another one. Hurwitz figured it out. Change nothing but your attitude and be happy.
This is you as a therapist. I really think I should be on antidepressants.
We don't have to work through anything.
Just
their solution is be happy.
How
Duh.
Dope is that?
Insane.
And when you step on a fucking half-eaten chicken that she ordered after not eating your food on the ground and she left in the bathroom.
And you open up your medicine cabinet and 1,000 plates just come pouring out of the wall because she won't clean and she just buys more and more. When you're living in a plate house, you just be happy. You can be happy.
I think the minimal amount of work that you need to do as a roommate that doesn't care about this kind of stuff is like at least put the dishes in the sink. You got to at least put them in the sink. You don't even have to wash them and then put them away. You just got to at least help me help you put them in the sink and then I'll get to them later.
It doesn't it's not coming from a fair starting point because you're saying you should clean your dishes and she's saying I should be able to leave them on the floor.
The floor.
And then, like, meeting halfway is like, put them on the counter at least or something. But that's not even right either. I think this is a bridge too far. I think
it's a non-starter slash
it's a non-starter. Yeah. You can't, if you cook, I think the other person should do the dishes. If they've had a very stressful day, then you can tag team the dishes. Ideally, everything is just kind of like a shared responsibility. And there's not any like, you owe this, I owe this, I did this, so you must do this. But not everybody can live that copacetically. I do think that if you've expressed your point that the dishes shouldn't be on the floor.
You got to get them off the floor.
Yeah, they shouldn't be on the floor. They should not be on the floor. The very, very
least. How are they even getting to the floor? That means she's eating off the table and then she's putting them on the floor, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Like,
she's eating it off the floor.
She's eating on the couch, plate on her knees, and then she says, all right, I'm done here. Plate goes on the floor. There's
the
a couple
floor.
Of different...
The floor.
Think,
she has to... She goes out of her way to put it on the floor. She would just leave it on the table.
The really fucked up thing you could do is just like next time you're out with your friends, you're like, oh, hey, well, help us settle an argument. Do you think Connie should do her dishes after I cook or should she leave them on the floor?
Because the last one was face down on the floor.
Settle a bet for us. If I cook, should she leave the dishes on the floor or do something different?
And then this guy's just absolutely caked in garbage, being like, oh, I don't really care, like sort of scratching lice out of his head.
He has Stockholm syndrome or something. You're living in an untenable situation and you're kind of allowing her to take a position that is frankly bizarre.
The most fucked up part of the whole email is that sometimes she eats half of the meal and then orders a pizza.
I think
that's
the most fucked up part is that
she
hides the plates. She knows that he wants her to do them, but she probably goes to more effort hiding the plates in the oven and the cupboards than just put it in the sink.
Yeah, you like, gotta at least put it in the sink.
At least put it in the sink. I think you can say, well, all right. If you want to not change anything and be happy, I think you just buy paper plates. You need to admit to your and donate somewhere to offset your carbon footprints, because that's a lot of paper products that you're going to be burning through. But she's not going to do the dishes, and you want to live with that. That at the very least, you need to get a disposable dish that you can just dump. And I don't think that's the best option. I feel like there's something at the root of this, which is that she's really unhappy at work. She's stressed out and upset by her job, right? And that kind of gives you low energy. It makes you not want to do your dishes. It makes you think that nothing is worth doing. I'm not going to put the dish in the sink. I'm going to put it on the floor, because who gives a fuck? So talk to her about work and figure out what's going on there. I think you can solve that issue. And then there might be some trickle down effects on the overall, on her willingness to help. That's something.
Also, if you option have a three, dishwasher, if you have a dishwasher, yeah. I feel like you can easily just put the dishes in the dishwasher. That's almost harder. That's easier to do than, like you said, putting it in the bathroom or in the cupboard or on the floor.
Yeah.
I guess floor is easiest, because you just sort of throw it on the floor.
Right.
Gravity does the heavy lifting there. You just throw it and it ends up on the floor. Second to that, I think, is the dishwasher being the easiest. And then third is hiding it. You never want to hide it. So you got to find a place for
it. Right. Next time you're cooking, you open the oven and it's just like eight dishes. You're like, that ain't right. Got a pizza box.
No. A loose pizza slice in the bathroom. She's fucking leaving you calling cards like a cat burglar. But instead of stealing things, she's just sort of negging your meal by ordering a pizza after.
Yeah, that's
you think she's bringing up the pizza ordering, or it's just like, that was really good. Ding dong. Oh shit, I ordered a pizza.
Oh my god, I can't believe this pizza. I ordered this last week. It just showed up. I didn't know you were gonna cook.
Or is it like, that wasn't very good. Do you want to go? I'm gonna order a pizza.
I feel like what's it's your like, favorite topic? That was really good. I'm still hungry. I'm gonna order a pizza. But it's like, if you're still hungry, you left half of it. Like, I'm really craving pizza right now. Like, okay, so let's get pizza. Why don't you just clear that dish? It's on the floor. Why is that not good enough? Is it in your way? It's on the floor.
I actually had a dishwasher issue last week where it would start overflowing with suds. Soap was spilling out of the dishwasher.
Wow. And did you solve it?
Well, I called a plumber.
Yeah. Did he solve it?
Yeah. He said it's not a plumbing issue. You need an appliance guy.
And did the appliance guy solve it?
Yeah, he said, you're not supposed to have suds at all. I was like, is this too many suds? It seems like the bubbles shouldn't come out. He's like, there shouldn't be bubbles. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, dish soap doesn't have bubbles. It's just, it's almost 100% water. It's like the frothiness was like some soap that was left in through something else, maybe a pre-rinse or like a damaged thing. And you know the pods that you throw in?
Yeah, you were putting Tide Pods in.
I thought I was fearful of that. He's like, let me see the pods that you throw in. I'm like, oh shit, it's gonna be a fucking laundry detergent. I'm gonna look like a dumbass. Thankfully it was a Cascade, but I've been just tossing it in, you know. There's a little door.
Yeah, you don't put it in the door.
Or I just toss it in. I've been tossing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, you should put it in the door. I'm like, what does it matter? You slide it in, the door opens. It's like, I'm putting it in instead of the door. Because sometimes I would run the dishwasher, you open the door, and it's like, oh, it didn't open, the door didn't open, the pod is still there. I'm like, let me just eliminate that thing. So I'll toss it in.
Yeah. And he's like, you become toss the door.
Yes. Well, I don't trust this fucking door. I'm a better door than this little thing.
Yeah.
And then I like slide it open and it cuts my finger. The door has like, I guess it could hear me and have vengeance on me.
Yeah.
And he's like, you shouldn't do that, because before the door opens, it rinses the dishes of food. And then the door is timed to open at a specific part of the washing process.
Yeah.
And so like, I basically put it in, and it would like go to shit with the pre-rinse, and then when it opened the door, nothing was there.
Yeah,
I was floored by the door reveal.
Floored by the door. Yeah.
Did you know that was the case? Have you been putting it in the door? It barely fits in the door. Honestly.
Yeah.
I honestly, do the put door it, is I, not big enough. Back me up.
I do always put in the door. I'm trying to get a word out. You're door-wise. Obsessed with this door. And I really
I adore
think
it.
God, you become the door and I'll do a podcast with the door. So you start working with, yeah.
It's a Tide podcast. And I the door.
Yeah, you and the dishwasher and me and the pod and the door.
Do you use the door or do you just toss in?
Yeah, I use the door. But actually, my dishwasher has a little cage, so it's not even like it's protecting it. So I'm not entirely sure what the vibe is.
Interesting. There. A cage. Yeah. I wonder if the cage gets opened at a certain part, kind of like the right. door did.
Yeah, I guess it probably does. Yeah.
He also said to use vegetable oil to kill the foam. So we ran the entire dishwasher with like a cup of vegetable oil in there to kill the foam. And then the next time we used the Cascade Pod, no foam at all. This guy was a fucking science teacher. That's right.
You should see if he could be your roommate.
There's no way. John?
Yeah.
The appliance guy?
John the appliance guy.
He's a 51-year-old married Armenian man. He doesn't want to live with me.
He might. You didn't even ask him. And he fixed your fucking dishwasher.
He has kids. He has two
free
kids.
Of charge.
Two high schoolers. And a so, cat yeah. and a dog. They're not all moving into my fucking house.
I'm not saying all of them would move in. I'm saying him and his wife. And the kids are in high school. They can look after themselves. Obviously, the cat and the dog would have to come because that's a lot of responsibility for two high schoolers.
A 20-year-old poodle.
A 20-year-old
poodle.
So that's a... Yeah. It's not like
way
a...
Too
it's not
old
gonna
to
be,
take care of.
I'm not saying you'd have
to live with this guy. Because Avital was already fucking looking at him with fuck you eyes. She's like, it's so cool to have a man in here that actually knows what he's fucking doing. And then I'm like, did you know you have to put it in the door?
Yeah.
And
she was like, yeah.
Yes,
my boyfriend tried to be a door. And it's like, no.
And it's not adorable. No.
It's not adorkable either.
That's the worst part. I'm just a fucking child to them.
Your appliances are breaking a lot. Remember you had the dryer issue?
Yeah, the dryer was an issue.
The coin stuck in the garbage
disposal. Yeah, that was a thing. What else I got that's broke?
We should do a home ownership podcast.
The problem is it only comes up once every like 8 to 10 months, and then I figure out what was wrong.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, let's take another break, thank another sponsor, and discuss more door after these words.
Ooh, nice.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Yeah.
All right, one last question.
Let's do it. Why not? We're here.
23-year-old male who has a problem.
Whoa, Mark Hoppus.
Right.
No one likes you when you're 23. Yeah.
His issue is that my mom wants me to go to college and I don't. She's even offered to pay for the entire tuition, even though she doesn't need to. I'm well off on my own. I own a business. I have my own house and basically everything is great. But my mom still wants me to get a bachelor's degree in something. I really do want to make her happy and proud after all. She gave birth to me, took care of me. And I'm just not interested in that higher education. I think it's a waste of time, money, energy, and especially since I have a job that pays me more than the average graduate. What should I do? Should I just take the loss to make my mom happy, or should I stand my ground in what I believe in and disappoint her? If you don't have any other alternatives, or if you have any other alternatives, let me know. That would be amazing too. Keep up the great work.
Oh, taking one for the team and going to college for 4 years to not disappoint your mom feels like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like going to university / higher education to own the libs. It's not entirely worth it at that point.
And I will say that I went to college to try to make my parents happy, but it wasn't for me, and I ended up making them sad because having their son fail out of college for 4 years in a row at different schools didn't necessarily feel like I was going to college, you know?
Right. And you didn't even have your own business / house at that point. So
I was a jackass.
They had a better case than this mother does.
For sure. I don't think that your mom is going to be, it sounds like you're very reasonable. I don't think she's necessarily going to be very disappointed if you decide that it's not for you. You could take some classes as a non-matriculated student.
Oh, that's good.
You find something that's like whatever your job is. You find something adjacent. Like, hey, could I further my career if I got this certificate or if I learned how to use this program? You tell your mom, hey, I'm taking classes at this local school, or I'm taking these classes online, yada yada. So it feels your education means something to your mom, and that's good, and it can mean something to you too.
It's like, I'm hearing you out. I don't necessarily want to go to Georgia Tech and fucking take geometry because I already have a business / a house. But how about I get Duolingo,
I have a mortgage,
and I'll learn French for a little bit. Can we call it even at that point, mother?
I think that's fair. And you take the class online, you get your mom a hoodie from the school that you're taking the class, and you say, look at that, you're a proud parent of a Georgia Tech non-matriculated urban planning student.
Or what if you fucking call her bluff? You get into a school that costs $60,000 a year, and you're like, I decided I'm going to take art history this quarter and geology.
I'm going to take art history at NYU, mom.
Yeah. Did you pay them the $68,000? I want a meal plan, mom.
Yeah.
I sold my house.
I need to live off campus. The dorms are nasty, mom. Can I have a studio in the West Village? Oh, mom, you're making me angry. I need to be rich in New York, mom.
Mom, the IKEA collection.
Mom, I need a bed frame. Mom, I need a dresser, mom.
You need a mom dresser?
What?
I need a mom cupboard, mom. So there's that option too.
Yeah, so you can do that too.
Yeah, and then you don't even necessarily need the money. You could be like, give me the $68,000. I'll spend it. I'll do the tuition. I'll get the fucking degree.
Yeah, I'll double your money, mom.
Yeah. I mean, it's always interesting when athletes are like, Steph Curry went back and got a degree from Davidson. It's like, yeah, that's pretty respectful, but at the same time, you probably didn't need to do it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you're not going to fall back on that communications degree.
It's good to educate yourself if that's what you want, but you just should never do anything just to not make someone else disappointed, even if they're your parents. Because I think ultimately the parents want you to be happy and... it'll be a momentary disappointment. She might not understand it because you're 23 and you have a business and she's, thinking decades ahead for you. But my parents were upset when I dropped out of college, and now they don't really question it. So you have a long time to prove that it was the right decision.
Are you ever regretful that you don't have a college degree? Did you ever wish you had a diploma from college, or it never comes up?
Sometimes it's just fun to have a connection or a story, and be like, oh, it's part of my personality that I went to. Sometimes I just think of schools and I'm like, oh, that seems like it would have been, something that'd be fun to have as part of my brand that I went to UVM or something. But
yeah,
no,
you can root for a school.
Yeah. I definitely don't miss any of the, I don't, there's nothing that I miss like education wise. And it was good not to have any student debt. I didn't owe anyone tens of, like my brother's still paying off his student debt. My sisters are too. I don't owe anyone tens of thousands of dollars. So that's kind of tight.
Are you the only of six children, the only one without a college degree?
That is correct.
Damn.
Yeah. My parents are Ivy League educated. All my siblings went to good colleges. I'm kind of the jackass, dumbass, loser, dropout, black sheep, non good son kid in the family.
Mom. You're sort of a jackass of all trades and a master of fun.
Good. Very good.
Will you pay my credit card bill this evening? Mom. All right. We're back, baby. Although, as far as the listeners are concerned, we never really missed a week / went anywhere. But
no such thing as vacation. Not when it comes to podcasting, baby.
It is weird that we haven't really like skipped a week. Like, shouldn't we just take a month off, a sabbatical every 9 years? We've done one podcast or one episode of Jake and Amir for decades now.
Yeah, ideally it's like, oh, I'm going to go away for... It's kind of
loser status.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going away for 2 weeks, so we better record three times this week. You know, fuck that. I was like, I'm going away for 2 weeks. Fuck off. You know, I'll see you when I'm back. And then we'll lose our sponsors. The ads won't come in. We won't have cash. The business will crumble and we'll lose everything we ever worked for. Decades of our lives building to this one moment that if I just miss a week, then it all comes crashing down. And for that reason, I'm back in.
Wow. What an adventure. We can never stop or we'll die. We're like the bus from Speed.
Yeah. Or me on the Apple Cross.
Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. We need your questions. We need your theme songs. We're finally running low after 9 years.
So if you're
sitting on a theme song idea, now's the time to record it and send it in. We probably will use it.
Damn right.
And that email address for everything is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
The opening theme song, closing theme song, which was Phil Angel. I'll never forget his name. Voice of a Phil Angel. And if you still want more of us, we're making videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
So shout out to everyone that's supporting us there. Shout out to everyone that's still listening to us after all these beers. And we'll see you next Monday.
What do you think about that? What I just did? Tiny dab.
Let's see.
So it's like the dab is this, but then you got tiny dab.
Tiny dab, do 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 do. Tiny dab,
dab do do.
Tiny dab, yeah.
It's pretty good. I'm gonna start doing that. I think
it seems like you just have. It seems like you just have a headache or something.
No,
it should go over your eyes. It should really go over your eyes. You're just like, what's that thing?
Oh, what's that? Boom. Boom, yeah. It's really, it's kind of addicting. It's pretty sick. Everyone should try it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good reminder that you can watch these episodes as well. We have our own YouTube channels for the show, If I Were You Show.
Subscribe to this one. Scrub to the end. See the tiny dab. And
what do you think of tiny dab for the name of this episode? Sort of so you're listening the whole episode and you have no idea where it's coming from.
Why? Yeah. Let's see if tiny dab is available. It's available. It is an available URL. Yeah, tinydab.com.
Tiny dab. It's a small, a little, oh, smaller than that.
Tiny. Don't just do a small one. No, don't do tiny. Do a fucking really tiny. Microscopic.
A little. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Tiny Dab.
Tiny Dab Nation.
See you next week.
Later.
It's a Monday, we finally made it. I can't believe I get to hear them say, welcome back to the only podcast hosted by us, it's Amir and Jake. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, you know what I'd do, you know what I'd do. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, come on and listen to your favorite Jews. We've got the classics, the Pinch, the Game Boy, so many others and even more to make. Amir, I'm sorry, I know you hate it. I just can't deny another golden mic for Jake. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, you know what I'd do, you know what I'd do. If I were you, oh, if I were you, oh, come on and listen to your favorite Jews.
Was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.